frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, Eddie Fiend coming out. You stick on, stick that big red light bulb on for a Fiend.
And his partner, Fader Tapender Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rab Florence, and I'm joined, of course, by the great man himself, Gredo.
How you doing, mate?
How you doing? You all right? What a show. Listen, hey, what a show we've got lined up for you. On today's episode, I have been so excited to speak to this guy. It is wrestling royalty. The genius himself, Lanny Poffo, is joining us tonight. And I just can't wait to speak to... Oh, I've just had a message. Come in. Sorry, I have got to put my wains to bed, so I'm not going to be able to speak to him. Gredo, can you cover? John, can you and Gredo cover this?
We certainly can. Are we doing work or shoot here?
Right, let's shoot on this. We've recorded the interview with Lanny Poffo, and I've had a busy day, and I thought to myself, do you know what, Lanny Poffo, he's for Rab's era wrestling. He's going to take care of this. He knows the score, the genius.
You're saying he's for Rab's era wrestling? Hold on, Lanny Poffo's fucking like, he's 65, right?
Aye, but come on, 91, 92, you must have been what?
Well, what I was going to say...
You're 10 years older than me, aren't you?
Any spoilers, right? I'm not in the interview, right? But what I was going to say in the interview was that when I went to school, in one of my school jars, I used to have a genius trading card, WWF trading card with a genius on it, as a wee kind of bookmark in my jotter at school.
That would have been fucking helpful, mate. Instead, what happened was 2 minutes before the interview starts, Rab pulls out, mate, and my farter absolutely collapsed. Thanks to John, who obviously knows about that era more than me. Mate, I was oiled. All I could do was talk about myself as usual.
Gredo, that's what people want for the show.
He wasn't interested.
He wasn't fucking interested in you. Get him back on the line. What are you talking about?
You mean he was like that? I just know, fans, that when you're listening to it, it'll probably come through that I was... You know what I mean? Because I just was like, what? Because he's a scary guy, man. And then I thought he cut those one bit as well. He talked about the Banff, somewhere the Banff, and I went, what tune's that in? And he fucked off, and we were like that. And then he said he had an emergency, I know, didn't he? He said that he had an emergency. And I was like, he's just heard me say, what tune's that in? I went, oh, fuck this cunt.
That might not make the edit, however, but we did. I'll tell you something that will make the edit, and you'll be able to hear later on. Is we talked about Hogan and how he went with Hogan. He was one of the first guys to beat Hogan. We talked about
the next main event.
His brother inducted him into the Hall of Fame. We talked about his brother's voice and how that's not real.
Just in case anybody's wondering, his brother is Macho Man Randy Savage. We've not mentioned that.
And we also talked about the size of his penis, because Chris Jericho on episode 1 of Wrestling Daft said that he has the biggest penis in wrestling, and he refutes that claim.
And also spoke about me and him talking in Dundee just before he made his entrance, and he had no absolute fucking recollection, I don't think, of me or Dundee. Well, he knew about Dundee, but he never knew that story. He was just like, cool, mate.
To be fair, everybody tries to wipe Dundee out of their memories after this. Right, anyway. Let's have a look at what's been happening for you, because I'll be honest, I've got no news. Have you got any news, Gredo?
I'm on a diet.
He's on a diet.
I've not had any chocolate for Monday.
That's good. So I'll take it half a chocolate.
It's fucking hell. It's like fucking, honestly, I genuinely don't think I've had a day half a chocolate since 2015, so...
Do you have chocolate in the house?
Mate, well, it's because I'm, what do you call that? Lockdowning. I'm lockdowning with Stephanie, so she's got rid of all the chocolate. I mean, she's got a wee lassie, so there's fucking loads of Freddos and all that, and I think they've all been hid for me. But she's the best thing for me, Rab, because I really want to defeat this.
Well, I believe you can do it. Let's move on. Let's see the correspondence for the last episode. Haggis Head Helmsley started a thread on the best wrestling sign you've seen on Twitter as he put a picture of someone that said The Rock P's sitting down. So is this signs that were actually spotted at wrestling matches?
It was.
More flooded in. Louise had DCT as the hairy baby maker. Guybrush Threepwood got in and says Bret Hart humps cows was one he saw, which is a good one. I quite like that one. ICW fan 1987 spotted one at an event that said fuck Brexit, watch wrestling.
That's a belter.
Emma Louise saw one that said Brock Lesnar is ticklish. one for Andy who saw somebody on Raw with one that said Owen Coyle is God.
That reminds me, do you remember WrestleMania 17? I'm sure there was a guy in the second row with a sign saying the Wayne Rooney.
Oh, nice.
He's on it. And this must have been 2001. Wayne Rooney would have just probably still been at Everton. Started it.
Gary spotted one.
It was also, I know, before you... Book Grado. That's at the start.
Oh, Book Grado. What was that? Mm-hmm. Sorry, because you dropped out a wee bit there. It's almost like the universe didn't want you to say one about yourself. But
maybe I should keep it to myself.
No. Say it. I'm just saying
at the start of WrestleMania 30, it pans to the crowd right at the first 2 seconds of WrestleMania 30. There's a big sign saying Book Grado.
How did that make you feel when you saw that?
Well, at the time, I'm sure I was wrestling for a company called TNA at the time. And you know, I kiddied on that. Oh, there you go, mate. Okay. The Rivals, man.
I'm kidding. Gary spotted one for WWE Raw when it came to Glasgow that said Roman Reigns sells Avon.
That's brilliant.
Hey, listen, back to wrestling names for when you were away, and remember we were talking about that. Toby says his wrestling name when he was a kid was Triple M or MMM for short, or is that for short? Imagine your wrestling name being your opponent's day when you come out. Yum. Finisher was a triple elbow drop of doom. Triple elbow drop.
Sounds good, mate.
MMM was main man Michael, the arrogant prick that I was. Beautiful. Guy's just lost his cell. He's remembering that he's just lost his cell in the memory.
I'm going to take a fucking wild guess that the triple elbow drop of doom was probably a wee guy elbowing his pillar, stunning back up, elbowing his pillar again, stunning back up, and elbowing his pillar for the third time. I'm sure that's the triple elbow. Toby, get back to his and let us know if that's what the triple elbow drop of doom was.
Let us know about that. Jordy Coyle said, I remember I was Crippler Coyle. Good old fashioned nickname there. Mm-hmm. Good old fashioned name. Good old fashioned wrestling name, Crippler Coyle. Jordy Coyle said, Crippler. He says he was Crippler Coyle and he'd also created his guy on N64's No Mercy. Fantastic wrestling game. When I rented it for Global Video, the next week one of my neighbours asked if I had it out because there was a guy in it with the same name as me. Didn't they know it saved data to the game? I love that story.
That's brilliant.
That's a brilliant story. That's brilliant. So somebody created themselves in the game and then somebody else got it out of Global a week later and he was in it. That's fucking brilliant. And I never even thought about that. Of course.
Great story.
It's a great story, isn't it? I don't even think Jordy Coyle realises how good that story is. That's a brilliant story. Well done, Jordy. Listener of the week, unless something amazing happens. Hazy was also back in touch and said, in hindsight, I would have called myself Dominic Cummings as I would have been fucking untouchable. Oh, here we go. A wee bit of satire's coming
here
in.
Here we go, man.
Like
here we
the
go.
Satirists, the great satirists of Scotland are coming in now.
Explain satire to me, the actual meaning of it.
Well, you're heading into a difficult area here when you're asking somebody to define what satire is, because people argue about that, what satire is. But it's essentially, I would define satire as comedy that makes a point about a subject, satirizes a subject, lampoons something, but in a kind of serious way, right? So that's what I would say satire is.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
I get it.
But people would argue with that.
So it's like having a joke about a serious subject, kind of?
Well, not necessarily just having a joke about a serious subject, but also, it depends. It's like, it's almost like to criticise people. Often it's topical, I would say. Usually it's something that's going on in the new. But it's usually kind of to form an analytical critique of something or someone through comedy, I would say. Speaking of satire, Dominic Cummings, Chris brought our attention to comedian Mark Nelson, who tweeted that he wished Cummings had walked out to the DX team when he did his press conference. Mark Nelson would be a nice guest in this show.
He would be perfect on this.
Mark's a nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Tam Osborne has been on and says, I purchased the excellent Total Extreme Wrestling 2020 game a day and decided to become the booker for ICW. Grado is listed in the game as a showstopper. And this is his description. He isn't so bad as to be labelled boring.
Is that good or no?
I would say it's better than being that's fucking mad. There's the picture. Grado is perceived by the fans to be well known. He has impressive charisma, good in-ring psychology.
Nice.
His selling of moves is impressive.
I sell myself.
And while he's solid rather than spectacular, he isn't so bad as to be labelled boring.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, what did he say? But Joe Coffey was on the show. Was it last week Joe Coffey was on?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Joe Coffey is perceived by the fans to be well known. He has good charisma, good in-ring psychology. His selling of moves is good. And while he's solid rather than spectacular, he isn't so bad as to be labelled boring.
So he gets, I know. Look at Trent Seven. Trent Seven is perceived by the fans to be unimportant. He has good charisma, good in-ring psychology. His selling of moves is very good, although his lack of flash does spoil the package somewhat. What's unimportant?
Sammy Callahan. While he may not be the flashiest wrestler on the planet, you wouldn't call him dull either. Love these. I need to get this game. A challenge for next week, right? Danilo says, because people were doing their partners 11 footballers, right? So what was this? You need to explain to me what is this?
Right, basically Jamie
Carragher. What is this?
Jamie Carragher was on Twitter and said, right, go to your girlfriend or partner or wife and ask them to name the first 11 footballers that come to them and we'll put them in a formation. So get them to do like a goalie and put them in a 4-4-2. So this is a big thing on Twitter. So he's then, Danielle has decided to do this with wrestlers, you see?
Right, okay. So the suggestion here is, so he decided to ask his girlfriend to name a six-person wrestling stable, right? Now, what we're saying here, by the way, what I want to say, as opposed to what John said there, right, what I want to say is, you ask your significant other, you might be a lassie asking your significant other who isn't into wrestling.
I said partner.
You did, but you went partner, girlfriend, wife. So I'm saying to you, if you're a woman, and your boyfriend's onto wrestling, go to them, ask them to name a six-person wrestling stable and see how they come up with. Here's what Danilo's girlfriend came up with. John Cena, Randy Savage, The Rock, Big Show, Orange Cassidy and Goldust on a stable. They go, that's an interesting one. It's an interesting that Orange Cassidy would be in the mix there. I think his girlfriend fancies Orange Cassidy.
I think his girlfriend likes wrestling as well.
Why do you think that? Because she knows Orange Cassidy?
Kinda. No?
Orange Cassidy's got a wee bit of a kind of mainstream appeal though. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of crossed over a wee bit, I would say. People are seeing him on Twitter doing wee bits and pieces. She's maybe seen him, well, I quite fancy him. What's his name? Orange Cassidy. You know what I mean? She's like, I would dump this Danilo guy in a heartbeat if I could get 5 minutes with Big Orange Cassidy.
I wonder if I don't like Orange Cassidy.
I'm surprised you don't like him, that fucking first name he's got. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we like to separate the good for the bad in the wrestling. The sight tests for the driving to test your sight. You know what I mean? It's satire.
That's satirical.
It's satire, Grado. That's satire there. Thanks, John.
Oh, pause. Say it again.
Right. Every week, we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. The sight tests for the driving to test your sight.
That's satirical.
That is satire. Aye. Yeah, it is, John.
John shaking his head.
A wee bit of satire.
Satire.
The very definition of satire. But what do you want to bury your poo-poo this week? Did you see AEW's big shop mall extravaganza? Boom, 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 boom. Carry on.
I've not managed to watch it. But I heard Jim Cornette talking about the ladder match. He basically buried it, but he buries everything on AEW anyway, didn't he? Did you see it?
I saw it. It was good fun. That was a good fun match.
Did you like your I'm intrigued in your opinion of the Stadium Stampede. I thought it was brilliant, and it was like what Money in the Bank should have been. I thought it was brilliant.
It was far better than Money in the Bank.
Aye.
Oh,
it was far better executed than Money in the Bank.
I would go so far to say, as I think it's probably the best produced wrestling match, and I'm including the Firefly Funhouse and the Buried Casket match in that, or the Buried Alive match.
I prefer the Undertakers at the Boneyard match.
What about the Matt Hardy thing? Was it TNA? That was good.
It was a different kind of match. It was a different kind of match, but no, probably the Hardy compound one.
There was so many good ideas, and they were really well executed, and the whole Matt Hardy bit was great.
Mm.
Now, I know there was some people saying that they shouldn't have done a trying to drown somebody in a pool segment after the tragedy that had happened that week. You know, that was one of the things that was getting said about it. But
that's fucking weird. That happened. They put a drowning thing.
They did have a drowning segment in it. But, you know, I think Matt Hardy's, I think the whole reincarnation thing underwater that Matt Hardy's been doing has been established for so long that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think... I never made the association when I watched it at all. It was only when I saw people talking about it afterwards that I was just...
I wouldn't make that connection either if I was watching it, I must admit.
I was just waiting for the reincarnation thing to happen. I was just watching that. Matt Hardy put in a really good shift in that match. I thought I loved the Matt facts coming up on the side and stuff. It was excellent.
It's really made me think I'm choking to get something like an ICW. You know, one of these produced matches... would be, you know, and put Ian fucking Twist on it.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, aye. I mean, it would be great.
What kind of produce match would you like to do, Grado?
I don't know, man. Something to do about bum bag. Try and get the bum bag for something. Do you know what I mean? Try and get the...
Put it at the top of the science tower.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Something like that. Or at the top of fucking... Do you know what I'd do? In Sunny World in Glasgow, put the bum bag at the top. Because is that not the tallest building in the town?
It might be.
Got elevators. You've got elevators to play with. And elevators
popcorn,
and that.
Popcorn to eat. Sweetest to eat.
Popcorn, but that's been a bit too much. That's, what would you call him? The guy that's, what do you call him? Otis, aye.
Otis.
I think you've got something there. Think of the way out of that cinema?
See, I do. I think that'd be good.
Some great spots in there.
Do you know what? No, it doesn't start there. It should be used like the subway, the underground. And you go to fucking Ibrox, then you go to, what else is in the subway?
That's it, mate.
But you know what I mean? What's that thing that I've done with the boys? When you the underground, what sub-crawl. Is it again?
The sub crawl.
Something like that with wrestling, and you come out and there's, you know what I mean? We're fucking fighting the streets of Glasgow. That'd be gallus, wouldn't it?
Aye. I'm sure he's all day that. I'm sure I see.
I'm sure Darcy's
all day. I've got one for you. Here's a bit of booking for you, right? It's the sub crawl. You get a belt at the start. So it's like the Royal Rumble, a wee bit, right? So the first wrestler starts at the first stop, right? You go on to the next stop. There's a wrestler there. You have a match in the subway. Whoever wins the match goes on to the next stop. And whoever is the winner getting round to the last stop wins the belt. What about
that's,
that?
So that's great, mate.
So who do you talk to about executing wrestling matches on the platform of a subway station?
Well,
right, let's see what the punters are saying. What the punters are saying, right? We'll just think about that. We'll just think about how we're going to make that happen. Westy has wants to put over the AEW for bringing in Brian Cagle. Is it Cagle?
Cage. It's just John.
Is it how do you pronounce that, John? Is it Cagle?
Sorry, it's Brian Cage.
Brian Cagle. Brian Cagle from Belgium.
Brian Cagle, let's just refer to him as Brian Cagle.
Right, but AEW brought in Brian Cage. The man's an absolute machine, says Westy. What kind of machine, though? There's lots of different machines. A fucking washing machine. It's a soda stream. What kind of machine do you mean?
A soda stream.
Martin wants to put over WWE for putting NXT talent in his fans for Raw. Made it more watchable. Definitely. Did you see that, Grado? There's no NXT punters. NXT wrestlers and the audience for Raw to get a wee bit merry and atmosphere, just like AEW were then, you know?
No, but shut up, me. That's what I was going to say. What has AEW done for fans?
Well, they have crew, and they have, like, crew and wrestlers and stuff.
Right. Because I remember they done that one week, but they get buried online because they didn't have a social distance. I take it they're going with, these guys have been tested, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's a different situation. John What's the put over MJF and Jungle Boy at Double or Nothing? Best match of the night. Amazing. Only 9 years of experience between them.
That's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, why is Barry Gronk and his shit sunglasses? Why is this guy on WWE? Why are you not on WWE, John? Ian wants to bury cyber bullies.
Oh, the Japanese lassie, which I was couldn't believe it. Well, I'm not saying I couldn't believe, but it was something I never expected to see on my Sky News. That's how I found it, which was obviously a fucking sad thing, man. It's just some... But do you know what? Wrestling fans could be fucking horrible sometimes.
Well, I mean, fans of everything these days, I think, are horrible, you know what I mean? A proportion of them, I think there's things need to change there.
But do you ever, you just go into like some YouTube comments and that and stuff, and I think, fuck me, man, I think a lot of wrestling folk get it tight. Our fans, equally, I mean, wrestling fans are brown because they're the most passionate. I think they're the most passionate thing, like, apart from like, what's up there with, give me something, Star Wars or some shit, N64s. Yeah. You know what I mean? All that kind of thing. We're talking shite.
No. It's true. But I think it's a terrible situation. Because I think Hana Kimura would have been, you would have seen her. She would have been a big star, I think. You know what I mean? You would have seen her over here, I think. And it's a shame. I say over here, I don't mean fucking Helensburgh, where I am. I mean in the United States of America. So it's a terrible loss. Ross wants to bury AEW for not giving me a reason to get behind most of the talent over a year, and the backgrounds of the characters are still hazy. He wants to put over Grado for recommending Dark Side of the Ring. Hey, hooked from start to finish, brother.
Brilliant. You know what's in that yet, Abner?
No, I've not watched I've not watched any of that yet, but I will though.
Well, that's what I say about the wrestling.
Steve wants to put her Orange Cassidy for his whole kind of be fuck putting up a ladder and just try stretching for the poker chip. And he wants to bury Mike Tyson for nearly crashing out of ringside, but I'm not going to tag him in this for fear of getting a whooping off him. Imagine Mike Tyson saw a guy tweeting us about how shite he was and then kind of, did you say on Twitter that I was shite for Wrestling Death? And try and get him. Big Mad Andy.
I thought you were going to say go to his door, like fucking. I don't know if you ever know the story a couple of years ago about Stephen Flutter and Chris Masters at PCW. Did you ever see that video?
No.
Somebody had been pirating PCW DVDs,
right?
And Chris Masters was booked for PCW, and Steve Flutter, the promoter, who's about my height, quite well built. Stephen won't even admit it. He's a big chubby fella. Not that I was getting to do it, but he fucking took Chris Masters to the guy's store. And they filmed it, and he was going, You're part of my DVDs? And just Masters in the background fucking cracking his fucking horns and all that. Hunter was shitting himself. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Do you know what I mean? That's the last thing he would have thought would have happened. Masters and fucking the promoter come to the door, he's selling my DVDs.
That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare. WWE Haggis wants to bury wrestling companies thinking they're immune and putting their fuck all because it's been utter shite before lockdown happened. So I've been utter shite well before lockdown happened. But WWE, he's just raging. Haggis is just raging. Big Mad Andy wants to put her Kevin Nash. Gets a lot of grief, big man, but he tweeted out some nice stuff over the weekend. And he's burying Joey Janela. What's the point in him? Get him so far to fuck. Man, listen, be kind, please. Fire Soul wants to put over Double or Nothing. Especially the stadium stampede match. I was fucking howling at the part of Matt Hardy was hitting out with. No going to bury anything this week. Keeping things positive for a change.
That's nice.
I appreciate Fire Soul.
That just proves that.
What are you saying, Griddle?
I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that spot. I've not seen it, but Jim, just because Cornette was burying it, saying the stunning on the ladder and says it wasn't funny. So I wanted to know what you thought about it. Was it funny? What did Cabana do? I know he's burying Cabana, I know, but he always buries Cabana.
It was just... The problem, I suppose, with it was just a fun, light match. You know what I mean? Like, why is Cornette even fucking
don't look too
getting
much
angry about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, what's going on with him? Scott says he wants to bury Livy for letting fans decide the fate of a player's contract. But he wants to put over Livy for tweeting this Did Livingston actually do this?
I know, because I went to see it. Did they obviously delete it, John?
This is a genuine tweet that Livingston tweeted, because they're one of their goalkeepers out of contract, and they put on Twitter, should we, a poll saying, should we give him a new contract or not? It was obviously a press stunt.
A joke, yeah.
This is a genuine tweet that Livy put out.
But it says 16th October 2011. It was tweeted. Do you see what I'm saying, Rob?
Yeah, but how did that happen in 16th October?
How could they know that they were going to tweet that?
I don't know.
Did they take...
Are you starting to reconsider if it's real now?
I know, I'm starting to reconsider it. I was giving this a... I think they had.
But either way, it's still fucking hilarious.
It's still hilarious anyway.
It's still brilliant.
Just to say again, just for anybody listening to this, what we're looking at is a Livingston FC tweet that says, good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life that don't know it'll work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot marks, which is the best tweet that Hulk Hogan ever put out in his life. Anyway, there we go.
Anyway.
We need to find out if that's real. Let's find out if it's real.
I feel as if I've killed George Buzz.
I've been duped by the listeners.
Yeah, tell you what, there might be a genius on this show tonight, but it's no fucking you, John.
Right, so my Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. I'm sure you all know what a Patreon is. We're trying to get ourselves in about it. And we've set up 3 tiers, and you can get involved over at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. You can apply to be in tier 1, which is a cruiserweight champion, which is about £3 a month. On that, you get a patron-only chat community, ad-free versions of all episodes, you get a full unedited version, you get random bonus content, the video version of the Marks podcast, and you can vote on what you want to see in the list of Wrestling Daft. Tier 2 is Intercontinental Champion, which is $10 a month. It's about £7.70. You get everything you get in Tier 1, as well as a video version of the podcast each month. You get a bonus episode once a month, and Grado, and I promised myself that I will record the first part of my career biography this week, plus a match, we'll be doing a 1-year review of AEW. That's right, when I find time to do it, I will do this interview, John. Probably date Friday, if that's all right.
Yep.
And you can join our Patreon pay-per-view parties. Shout out to everyone who got involved for Double or Nothing at the weekend. Tier 3, you're the World Heavyweight Champion, which is £15 a month. And you get everything in the previous tiers, as well as 3 tickets to every live event once we're all allowed to get out of self-isolation again, as long as you're signed up to the Patreon. And you get a free Wrestling Daft shirt design of your choice, but you must sign up to a minimum of 3 months. Plus, to get to feature on one of our shows as one of our marks. Yeah, that's fun. But, I mean, I think the Patreon is good. Do we have any signing ups this weekend?
Yes, we have. Had a couple of upgrades and everything this week.
Oh, that's actually good news. So if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons, sign up this now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we would love to welcome you to the roster.
Now, this week on our Patreon... Oh, sorry. This week on our Patreon... How do you date, Grado?
This week on our Patreon,
we asked for you guys to vote in a list of Wrestling Daft. Remember, you can vote on this. Vote in the direction of the show itself by signing up for $4 a month.
There you go, mate. You get to vote for £4. Oh, get that in there, man.
Patreon.com. /wrestlingdaft. Nay backslashes. This week... As we did worst gimmicks a few weeks ago, we thought we'd throw up best gimmicks, maybe, as a wee list. And that was up against the best moments of WCW under Bischoff as he turned 65 this week. Okay.
Why are we celebrating his 65th?
Because he's retired now, he can get his bus pass. With 67% of the vote, it was the best moments in WCW that won, and I'm going to do my top three right now. And okay, so here we go. So my top three, this is quite tricky for me, actually. This is quite tricky for me, right? My number three has got to be the 3-hour Nitro, right? Now, the concept of the 3-hour Nitro with the structure of the opening hour of the cruiserweights and the Lucha Libre guys leading up to the bigger guys and the kind of European impulse, the structure of that show. I don't think there is enough credit given to WCW Nitro under Bischoff for what he did, showing how you could structure a 3-hour wrestling show. No, and I think the case in point here is you look at the 3-hour long Raw that we watch, and they just can't do it as well as Bischoff did it with Nitro. So that is my number three, is the structure of the 3-hour WCW Nitro. How do you feel about that, Gradle?
I like that. I like it because Defo at the time, they ever complained.
No.
They probably did complain, actually.
Ever complained about it. Like, I remember people enjoying the fact you could turn it on, you tune in, you knew in the first hour you were going to see all these cracking cruisers, you were going to see Juventud Guerrera and all that, all jumping about, you were going to see these fast matches, you knew you were going to get teased for the fact that Hogan was going to be there in the third hour and stuff like that. It was built up beautifully. You knew that in that middle hour, you were going to get people like Alex Wright and all that, and Disco Inferno, and you know what I mean? You had all this. It was great. It was a beautifully structured show. So that's my number three, is the structure of WCW Nitro.
I like where you've done that.
My number two is going to be, and this is what I was deliberating here, because I had this at number one originally, but it has to be my number two.
Can I guess it? Well, is it Hogan and Goldberg on Raw, Maestro?
No, it is the push for Diamond Dallas Page.
Aye, mate, he was so big.
The push for Diamond Dallas Page is my number two.
It's his chance! He hooked him, boys! He hooked him! That's it! That's it! This place has erupted! Everyone is standing! Savage, when you thought he had Diamond Dallas had Savage! And look at Nick Patrick!
The pressure's on him right now, Brain. He knows he's not going to get up!
Come on, Patrick!
Count him! Go ahead! You better count!
Come on!
One, two, three!
He's got him! He's got him! Is Nick Patrick back or what?
He's on Ricky Lake and fucking everything, mate!
Like I say, this was my number one originally, because I kind of feel quite a lot of the time I think to myself, I'm not sure if at any other promotion, DDP, the vision wouldn't have been there to give DDP that push. DDP was an unlikely looking guy, an unlikely guy to be in the spot that he was in. But my God, they go behind him and they pushed him, and he was worth every minute of that push. You know what I mean? He was fantastic. The fans, he was so over. You couldn't get much more over than DDP was. And it was a beautiful push, a lovely kind of organic push, a push that took time, a push that, you know, DDP talks about it beautifully. He talks about what Macho Man did. We're feeding into the fact that Lanny Poff was going to blow in this, what Macho Man did to help put DDP over and stuff like that. But I think WCW, everybody talks a lot about NWO and all that. And everybody talks a lot about Ric Flair, and everybody talks a lot about Sting, and everybody talks about it. But I think WCW Nitro without Diamond Dallas Page would have been a completely different picture, I think. You know what I mean? Having a guy like that in that mix was... So that's my number two.
And it makes you think in hindsight now when you think about it, when, I mean, that moment on Raw when DDP taking off his balaclava, it was amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But when you think it was such a fucking bullshit way in terms of... He was stalking Undertaker's wife. I mean, why would he want to stalk the... And you just think he could have fucking been involved in any other storyline and taken that mask off. And he was so fucking big.
The Rock should have been in the ring. The Rock should have been in the ring doing a promo and then fucking self high five, and out comes DDP. It's as simple as that.
Because I'm sure fucking... I'm sorry to talk about Cornette again, but I'm sure he booked and he's like fantasy WrestleMania 18. I'm sure it was something like DDP versus The Rock. And it's something you... I think it was The Rock. Mm-hmm. And you just think, fuck, that could have worked. Do you know what I mean? Fucking DDP was like fucking over in America. No, just in wrestling, he was
that
fucking...
That would have been massive. It would have been worth it just to have seen The Rock of that era selling a diamond cutter. Because I think that would have been a sight to behold. The Rock selling a diamond cutter, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's my number two. And my number one, it's going to be bringing in Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
What now?
Looks like we're taking over a little early.
Hey, look, big man, Donny Osmond's back. He's back.
Hey, Bischoff, you get a couple frequent flyer miles for that last ride there.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Eric, let's get out of here.
It was a tricky one for me, but when it comes down to it, in terms of the impact that had upon the scene of professional wrestling and stuff like that, it has to be bringing in Hall and Nash. And the start of that whole run and the NWO brother.
So, that's good. Can I just say a couple of mine? My favorite one. I know you're talking about you loved. Who are we talking about there? Was it DDP or something
DDP.
Before that?
Mm-hmm. DDP. Right. And yeah.
Do you know what I remember? I remember buying fucking, I was hooked. I bought a Best of Raven and WCW video, and it was four-hour videos long. It was literally 16 hours long. And I watched that fucking tape all day and night in my grands. Raven and WCW was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever remember WCW? Aye?
Oh, aye.
I mean, I can't remember it happened, didn't it? But I just remember loving it, right? Landstorm's theme music.
You also had, just before you move on for Raven, because you also had run about Raven, you had Canyon and stuff like that as well. And I was a big fan of, I was a big fan of them, you know what I mean?
Canyon. And then also, because I used to take the video every day on Global, that fucking Triple Cage gimmick.
Oh, aye.
And folk bury that, but I fucking, as a way, and I loved that, man, when Canyon got through off the top of that cage.
It's a spectacle, isn't it, when you're a
fucking
wee guy.
Mega. He was a stuntman, wasn't he? I'm sure, Canyon.
I'm not sure. I'm very sure.
Or he was either a stuntman for that Ready to Rumble or something like that. I don't know, but they had fucking stadium. It was very sad. Very, very sad. Who better than Canyon? And as well, I always wondered how they managed to get away with that fucking ripping off the theme music.
I know. I love that shit.
It's good, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, because it was so close. It was so close. Keith Richardson says, Sting versus NWO. A great story to lead to a match with Hogan. It was built up over a long period of time, which you never see these days. Always enjoyed the Stinger coming down for the rafters to beat them up with his baseball bat. I mean, it's just, it's iconic, isn't it? Sting coming down for the rafters, or Sting sitting up in the rafters and watching them. Beautiful stuff. McIntyre's Tartan Army says, Goldberg's undefeated streak to become WCW World Heavyweight Champion in the Georgia Dome. Just the crowd that night.
And is it not true that they only, what was the deal with that? Did they not just make a decision last minute to go to the Georgia Dome? And they had, like, I'm sure they had like 4 days to sell tickets, and they sold it out.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I'm sure there's a story behind that. Where
we need to get Eazy-E on this show and ask him about this stuff.
He's a crabbit bastard.
He would love us. Steve, having Medusa debut in Nitro with the WWF's women's belt and then dump it in the trash can, such a gangster move. See, I don't like that kind of thing. I turned my mic off. I was so angry there. I don't like that, flinging belts and bins. It's not for me. John Montgomery says, Macho Man taking a diamond cutter and making DDP. Always liked him as a manager and even men as a wrestler. Also think Sting Flair on the last Nitro was a great touch, as they were the main event on the first Nitro. That was a sad affair, seeing them two wrestle on the last Nitro. Although it was dead exciting as well, wasn't it? Seeing Ben McMahon walk out and all that. It was mind-blowing.
It was fucking brilliant, man, wasn't it?
It was mind-blowing.
It was brilliant.
Broncello.
And I love how Jeremy Borash has got a story about that, about how it's fucking brilliant. He was just like, obviously he had been doing the internet WCW show, and the guy that he done it with, they were sitting there in the crowd when Shane McMahon was in the ring and all that. Let's just fucking attack the ring. Let's just do it. If we get beat up, it doesn't matter. Fuck it, we're going to lose our jobs. Yep. Let's do it. Let's just fucking get a down in the middle of the ring. We've got nothing to lose.
Yep.
And he says he was that close to fucking doing it.
Oh man.
Just imagine that fucking, that'd been brilliant.
That's a brilliant story. Broncello, good friend of the show, says WCW turned the tide in 94 with the acquisition of One Man, followed by a record pay-per-view buys, possibly one of the greatest WCW moments, the Disney MGM parade, and the announcement of the signing of Hulk Hogan.
Do you know what I think that was on ITN News? Remember John Shushi?
Yeah.
I'm sure it made ITN News when Hogan signed for WCW.
Maybe. Aye. It's a big deal. However... He needed the outsiders coming in. Needed that kick into something. Rich says, Starrcade 1993, Flair versus Vader. Just perfect storytelling.
Match. Love that.
And Max says, calling Vince out to fight him on pay-per-view.
Aye.
He's karate gear on. And taking that jackknife off the stage. Scott, the whole cruiserweight division. Hey, the stars that have came for that are unbelievable and started the movement that you didn't have to be 6'9", 350 pounds to be a star. Also one of my favourite matches ever, Ray versus Eddie, Halloween Havoc 97. See that first hour of Nitro with the cruiserweights? It was dynamite. Scott,
stand the test of time, didn't it?
Yep. Scott says his namesake, Scott Steiner, turning his back on his brother's Rick. And his brother Rick, no, he's not got two brothers called Rick, just one brother. His brother Rick to join the NWO and become Big Papa Pump. If it wasn't for that moment, we probably wouldn't have got all the now famous Steiner promos. I love Steiner's chainmail head thing. I love it.
I know.
Craig says the Four Horsemen ceremony with Ric Flair's return and Flair calling himself a son of a bitch. And I think, did he fling his shoes into the crowd as well?
Aye.
That one. He did, didn't he?
Does that now when he takes off his tap and elbow drops his tap and stuff like that. Man.
Bischoff. See, the problem is history is written by the victors, isn't it? And so the WWE write a lot of the history, all of this stuff and all that. But Eric Bischoff's legacy is really quite something. You know what I mean? Really quite something.
And plus, we wouldn't get all the drama like, see the way fucking Russo and Bischoff hate each other and stuff like that, and the finger poke of doom and stuff like this, you know, all that stuff's fucking brilliant to listen to, about now. You know what I mean?
It was great. Listen, I don't know if for wrestling fans who lived through it, I genuinely think wrestling fans who lived through the Monday Night Wars, you know, new wrestling fans that come along will ever experience anything as exciting as that again, I don't think.
Totally agree, man. I was saying to my girlfriend that week, I was like, you have no idea how much a buzz Friday nights were as a wee guy, do you know what I mean? And Thursday, because I think was maybe the no-show Nitro on a Thursday on Bravo.
I can't remember how it lined up. What I used to do was, what we used to do when we were wee guys, well, no, we were wee guys, I wasn't a wee guy when it was happening, I was like, I must have been like 19 or something, I'm kind of not really sure, but I used to tape Nitro and tape Raw, and then watch both of them on the Saturday right after one another.
Was it on the UK's version of TNT?
Oh, I can't mind. Maybe.
I think it was, mate.
It was Bravo. Was it not Bravo?
But I think Bravo was near the tail end. I'm sure there was a TNT. I could be wrong, the fans can write in. But also I say to my bud, like, just like fucking the excitement of watching, like, maybe I think South Park was on, Trigger Happy TV, Father Ted, you know, then Raw.
The Pasta.
Fucking brilliant, man. What when a place. Gonna miss that? Do you know what I mean?
What a place the Pasta was. This is the thing, it's like it doesn't have the same
because
Monday Night Wars was brilliant. Because let me tell you something here. Here's what was exciting about the Monday Night Wars. You had the genuine sense that whatever company won, the other company was going to go down the tubes. Mm-hmm. It was like thrive or survive. It was your survive or die, survive or live or not live, death or never say never again.
Aye.
Right now, you're being stuck at home these days, right? You probably don't think much about internet privacy and your own home network. Right? Fire up incognito mode in your browser, nobody can see what you're doing, right? Oh, you're rang, mate. You see, even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear that browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. Now, believe you me, that's why, I mean, I'm on the telly, right? I can't take any chances. So even when I'm at home, I never go online, never, without using ExpressVPN. Know that ain't bad, right? But just because I just don't want to put it in a bad way. I just kind of, I feel like because I'm a celebrity, then people shouldn't know what I'm looking at, right?
Aye.
So ExpressVPN makes sure that your ISP, that means internet service provider, right? You wouldn't know that. They can't see what sites you visit. Instead, your internet connection is rerouted through ExpressVPN secure servers. And each ExpressVPN server's got an IP address that's shared among thousands and thousands of users. That means everything you do is anonymized and can't be traced back to you. They can't catch you. They can't get you. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data. Now listen, I'm not talking about 50%, I'm not talking about 75%, I'm not even talking about 95%, I'm talking about 100% of your data. That's about as much percent as you can get, right? With best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected. So you can use the internet with confidence for your computer, your tablet, or your smartphone, because ExpressVPN has you covered on every device you've got. Even if your SodaStream is attached to the internet, they'll cover you on that as well. Simply tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. It's rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless more. Right? So I want you to do the smart thing. Pretend you're a celebrity, right? Pretend you're not just a normal punter going about your business. You're a celebrity, like being great, all right? You're an Illuminati with us, right? Protect your online activity today with a VPN that I trust to secure my privacy, and believe you me, it needs secured. visit my special link at expressvpn.com/wrestling, and let me tell you something about that slash, right? That's a forward slash, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/wrestling, expressvpn.com/wrestling, to learn more about this thing that you need.
Now let's introduce a living legend of wrestling. Through the 80s, he worked for companies such as NWA and Mid-South, and was one of the original high flyers in the business, introducing moonsaults, sentons to North America as Leaping Lanny. Then, through his work as a genius, he became one of the few people to beat the Hulkster in the WWF. Please welcome to the show one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life, Mr. Lanny Poffel.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, still living in the past. Thank you.
You know what? I thought you were going to start a poem there. I know you like your poems.
Oh, yes, I do like a poem.
Oh, you love your poems. I remember when you came to Dundee for SWE, I think it was a couple of years ago, and I'm sure you had the room paying close attention to your poem. It was beautiful.
Oh, flower of Scotland, when will we see your light again?
And fought and died for.
He did hear in Glen and stood against him. Against who? Proud Edward's army, wanker. Again.
That is amazing, man. Hey, you are so brainy. I mean, you really are the genius. Where did you get all that? You speak so eloquent in every interview that I hear you. Is that just something that you had as a boy? You just grew up. Did you like reading books?
Well, I don't even like to read now. I read stop signs and things. I do audio books. I'm a more of a listening learner. But I didn't have 20-inch arms. I didn't have, so I pointed to my head a lot. And I just took advantage of my own natural resources. And if I would have had, the Ultimate Warrior's body, I wouldn't have pointed to my head. I would have pointed to my arms.
It's a bit like myself, mate. I don't really have much of a figure on myself either, but I'm sure you had a better figure back in the day with me. I've been compared to being built like a loaf of bread, which isn't the best for being in the wrestling business. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you just do the best you can with what you got.
Exactly. I started a diet on Monday. I haven't had chocolate in 3 days. I haven't had chocolate in three days.
Oh, wow.
See, I'm going to start a diet and exercise program, but I'm too hungry and tired.
Mate, I feel you. I mean, right now I'm working through this lockdown. I'm busier than ever for some bizarre reason. And all I want to do is eat and sleep and watch wrestling.
I want to go to Hogmanay before I die.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Hogmanay? Or do Americans not call it Hogmanay?
What do we call it?
New Year's Eve. Is that New Year's Eve? You call it.
Yeah, but I want to go to Hogmanay because I want to do it in Glasgow or Edinburgh.
See, do you know much about Scotland?
I got YouTube and I'm looking at it. So if there's any way I can get around without freezing my arse, I'd be fine.
Freezing your arse.
We need to try and get you a booking at ICW, Lanny, which is the big promotion over here.
ICW?
Yeah, I mean, you wrestled in the original ICW back in the day, didn't you?
Well, it was called International Championship Wrestling, ICW. What's yours called?
Insane Championship Wrestling.
Insane? Ooh.
Yes, yeah. We're insane. We're all off our heads. We're crazy. How did you find Dundee when you came?
Well, I just flew into Edinburgh and they just drove me to Dundee. What happened on the way to the show was I think there were 200,000 people on the street jamming traffic because they were trying to break away from the UK.
Oh, was that right in the middle of that time?
That's what happened.
That was, honestly, that was an absolute nightmare to live through in Scotland. It was a pain in the ass. But anyway, enough talking about what I remember about that night in SWE. I felt terrible, right? You might not remember this. And sorry, I'll need to speak slower for you because I know the Scottish accent can throw you a wee bit. But if I remember rightly, I was talking to you right at the, I was going to say gorilla, but it's not much a gorilla. It was a fucking fire exit, basically. And I'm sure your music hit. And you were busy talking to me, and you ended up coming out of the side of the stage instead of walking down the ring. So you kind of came out the side through the crowd. And I was like, I feel terrible because I've just fucking distracted this guy.
Absent-minded genius.
Lanny, you started off, your dad, Angelo, was obviously, your second-generation wrestler. And you and Randy started with him training. Was it always something that the two of you guys wanted to do, or was it something that your dad, put you down that path?
Well, Randy, made 4 years in baseball in the professionals, and he got 3 unconditional releases, and then he finally decided to go into wrestling. And it was on something to fall back on. But he had decided from the day one that he wasn't just going to be a wrestler. He was going to get to the top. Of course, I decided that too. And I actually did attain it for 4 months. But Randy did it for many years. And but I had a cup of coffee in the big time. Do you remember that interview? A cup of coffee in the big time, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the 4 months you're referring to is, you know, that little run that you had, 89 to 90 with Hogan. I mean, that how did you get yourself into that position? You know, going from being Leaping Lanny and then obviously switching up to the Genius King. How did that opportunity come around?
Well, what happened was I was going to be they were wishing me luck on my future endeavors. Do you know what that is?
I've been releasing you.
Yes. And they said, Lanny, you're a great employee. You're always on time. You always pass a drug test. You know, you're reliable and everything. We hate to do this, but you've been here 5 years and we have too many baby faces. We need heels, which means we have too many good guys. We need bad guys or villains. So I was married at the time and I had a daughter, and I still have a daughter, but I'm no longer married. And so
I go,
did you get that? Bitter. Who's bitter? So I said, well, why don't you make me a bad guy? So Cheap J. Strumbo said, you can't be a bad guy. You're too good looking. So I said, well, you were a baby face for 35 years and you are the ugliest man I've ever met. And so everybody laughed, but I wasn't laughing. So we were in Boston and I said a poem derogatory to the sports teams of Boston. So my name is Lanny Poffo. I always know what's up. The Bruins haven't got a chance to win the Stanley Cup. The Red Sox haven't won in years. I hope they never do. The Celtics are a travesty. The Patriots are too. And a fan jumps in the ring and I nail him. And then I start the third verse or fourth verse, whatever it was. And another fan jumps in the ring and the police are in there and it's a mini riot and the match doesn't take place. So I come back to the dressing room and Vince is there and says, well, it looks like you weren't as good looking as we thought. Do you have any ideas for a gimmick? I said, how about Boy Genius? And he says, well, there's, you know, how about the genius Lanny Poffo will do 6 vignettes and then we'll drop Lanny Poffo. And I said, nothing doing, Vince. It's either my way or the highway. No, I didn't say that. I said, okay, Vince, anything you want.
So, but I mean,
you know,
I
guess, and then, what's that?
I guess you then go from that and you're in a program with, you know, with the big star, the big draw and the big money.
Well, Hulk Hogan liked my gimmick. He says, Lanny, you're working like a fag out there. So I said, you want me to stop? He says, no. He says, no, I don't want you to stop. I love it. As a matter of fact, can you turn the dial up on that? He says, because I've got an idea. I said, nothing doing, Hulk. I'll do the ideas. No, I said, okay, Mr. Hogan. And the next thing you know, he had an idea for me, and I couldn't believe it because he didn't lose to anybody. And then they put me with Mr. Perfect, and that was fantastic. And for 4 months, I was like, he took me to all the main events and all over the WWE. What a. And then the only time I ever got in an argument or denied Randy one of his wins, he was having a CD, Be a Man Hulk.
Oh, that's right. Be a Man Hulk. I remember that.
Yeah. And he says, I need for you to write something, a rap tune against Hulk Hogan. And I said, I can't do that. He says, can't or won't. I said, both. I said, my whole career, 21 years, I was either the big fish in a little pond or a little pond in a, you know, I was, he brought me to the dance. I can't spit in his face. You know, I feel like even though he hasn't done anything for me lately, I feel that he gave me something that I can never forget, or, you know, I have to be appreciative the rest of my life. But I'll tell you what I will do. I will write a beautiful song for Mr. Perfect for you. Oh, that'd be great. So I said, I wrote it for him and he liked it, but by the time that he sang it, he had tweaked it to death or edited it or something. I couldn't recognize it, you know, for my own. So at least he was happy, though.
Was that real? The stuff with Savage when he wrote that rap song. I thought that was a work. Was it for real?
Oh yeah, he was angry because we had a shock jock radio guy named Bubba the Love Sponge.
That's right.
And every day for 5 days a week they would trash the family. Well, I wouldn't listen to it. That was my way of getting even. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was Hulk Hogan's friend. They since ended up in court, you know, over something, right?
Like something.
So anyway, my point is, I still appreciate Hulk Hogan for all he's done for me. And I appreciate Vince McMahon, and I appreciate the Macho Man. You know, can't we all get along?
Exactly. I mean, I've listened to some of your interviews before, and you talk about wrestlers. See, it's not about what you make. What is it? What's the line again? It's not about what you make, it's what you earn. It's not about what you earn, it's what you save.
And invest wisely.
Yes. So did you do that?
Oh, yes, I did. And I'm the opposite of Ric Flair. Now, I love Ric Flair. He was always nice to me. But I'm not a kiss-stealing, limousine-riding, wheeling-dealing, jet-flying son of a gun. Right? Woo. You know, I'm a mutual fund-buying, you know. I have boring investments, but I have streams of income, and I've been retired since I was 50, and I'm 65 now, so that's 15 years of retirement. And I am no longer married, but I have a beautiful daughter who will be, on Friday, she turns 36, and she's given me two beautiful grandsons. One is 3 years old, the other is 6 months old.
You say you're retired, though, Lanny. Up to a few years, you're still doing it in the ring. You're still Ring of Honor. You're still doing comms on Ring of Honor. What makes you, what drives you on to keep doing it?
Well, I said I was retired. I didn't say I was dead yet. So, and the thing is, I had an opportunity to go, you know, believe it or not, I've been all over Europe, all over England, but never Scotland, you see? And that's why... couple of years ago, that's where I met you. I was thrilled to be there, and they took very good care of me because I wanted to do the touristy thing too.
Talking about you're working with Ring of Honor and talking about the product, Lanny, you seem to gush anytime I see you speaking about Ring of Honor. You seem to gush over that promotion. What is it about Ring of Honor that gets you so excited?
Well, I was just excited because they invited me and they were very nice to me, and I like the exuberance of youth, and they have some very, very talented people in Ring of Honor. Jay Lethal is the guy that made it all happen for me. And also AEW, I got to go there, and I got to go to New Japan because of my affiliation with Ring of Honor. So one thing led to another, and I got to cross a few things off my bucket list, because believe it or not, before 2018, I had never been to Japan.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Really? I mean, the thing is, Lanny, I guess when early, and going back to earlier in your career when you were doing sort of Leap and Lanny stuff, did you watch a lot of Japanese stuff to get that influence on the sort of style that you did on the ring?
Well, like everybody thinks I invented the moonsault, but the fact is, I believe it was 1982 that Tiger Mask wrestled the Dynamite Kid in Madison Square Garden. And that was before New York became worldwide. So I was in the gym, and a friend of mine said, hey, did you see the match between this guy and this guy, Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask? Every flip and this and that. I said, can you get me the video? And at the time we had video, we stuck it in. You know, that was back many years ago. So I watched the match, and then I invented the moonsault right after I saw Tiger Mask do it.
That's what every wrestler does anyway, isn't it? Great. Grado does a great moonsault, by the way.
It's like Christopher Daniels has a move called the best moonsault ever. I have mine's. Mine's is called the worst moonsault ever.
The worst and ever. Yes. And here at the age of 65, I went to Calgary and Edmonton and Red Deer, and I did, each time I did a moonsault, a 65-year-old moonsault.
Wow.
So
Lanny, you talked to him, you mentioned Ric Flair there, and you obviously worked in NWA with Ric Flair. But, I mean, you worked, I mean, that was really, I guess, your education into wrestling with Terry Funk, Lou Thesz. Did you go through a training school, or apart from your dad, or was it just a case of learning on the road?
Well, my father taught me the basics, fundamentals and things, but he said that you should learn from everybody all the time. And if you stop learning, you should get out of the business, because it's not good enough to stay satisfied. You have to be hungry. And my brother, who was very much a perfectionist, was never satisfied with any match or any interview or any costume. He always wanted to make it bigger and better and better and better and better.
Talking there about your brother and, you know, learning things like that, I mean, it's well known in the wrestling industry, your brother was a very much 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is what we're doing at this time. Were you that guy, or did you like to call it in the ring?
I never called anything in the ring, because when I was starting out, I noticed I could always see the wrestlers talking. And, you know, when the wrestlers talked to each other, I couldn't hear them, but I could see them. Like, they whisper each other's ear before, you know, throwing each other in the ropes. So I didn't want anybody to say that about me. So the only thing I ever did in the ring is listen. And I did things on my own or listened. Now, if I was wrestling somebody like Terry Funk, Harley Race, somebody that had earned the authoritative leadership, I would always listen. But whenever I was the leader, I always told the other person, then let's just play it by ear, you know, and have that wide open style. And I never liked to do the, now my brother, he only did paint by numbers for his opponent. He knew what he was going to do, but he wanted his opponent to be caught up with him.
Ah, right. Grado, I mean, what are you, that kind of guy, Grado, or do you like to just call it as you go as well?
Sorry,
I was improvisational. I, you know, just did whatever I felt like doing at any given time.
Yeah. There's no match better than when you just go along with a crowd and listening to the crowd and having a feel for it out there. That's the way I feel. But I mean, I stand on people's toes, poke their eyes. I do the same shit every fucking match. mine's is just like a kind of pantomime inside the ring. Do you know what pantomime is, Lanny?
Oh, yes. Marceau.
Yes. Gigi.
Yeah. Like you want to crack an egg, you don't do it like this. You go.
Correct. Exactly. It's all about the ha. You know what I mean?
Lanny, you talked about you weren't on the road. You know, obviously your dad sort of taught you, and then you and Randy went out and sort of learned. Do you think in wrestling today that's a missing quality, because there's so many training schools now, and you go to a training school and then you go into developmental, but you don't get that experience of just being out on the road and getting someone like Terry Funk or Lou Thesz taking you under their wing and going, "This is how you do it, kid." You know.
Yes, I know what you're saying, and I feel that I had an advantage, that I had 12 years to be lousy before I got my big break in the WWF. You know, there's the way to make a good interview is to make a million lousy ones, and, you know, and improve each time. So you're right. It was an advantage to work the territories, and we wrestled like 9 times a week. And it was, you know, when a lot of times $400 a week was very good for a week. And, but I would always save $200, or at the minimum $150. And then after 7 years, I had saved my first $100,000.
So
in other words, and sometimes I cheated a little bit. I wouldn't eat, you know, if I was having a little, you know, and, why would I go through that if, it was all worth it, you see?
Yeah, and another thing as well, you were obviously, you wrestled through the 80s when the drug culture was absolutely massive, and you're on record to say that you've never touched a drug, you've never smoked a fag, you know, you've never smoked a cigarette. Yes. That's obviously going to help with your money saving as well, because you're not spending money on drugs.
That's right, and also I remember Jesse the Body Ventura. We got along very well in the car, and we were working in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon and Washington. And what a fantastic person to ride with. But he stops. I fill the car up, and he stops to get some food, and he buys me a gift, Happy Days. And Happy Days is a little tobacco you put between your cheek and gum. And he says, this will get you started, then you graduate to school and finally get to Copenhagen, which is what I use. And I said, thank you, but no thank you. So he says, "Don't all the boys are doing it." And I said, well, I'm more worried about what my dentist thinks of me than the wrestlers.
I mean, it must have been, did you have other people trying to come up and say, what, oh, come on, Lanny, have a line, you know, take this, take that. It must have been, yeah. It must have been hard to tell these people, look, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I had to do it, you know, because I was, now, unfortunately, in 1989, before my big break with Hulk Hogan as the Genius, I took steroids. And then when I was trying to do the Gorgeous George gimmick in the WCW, the steroids weren't legal then, so I took human growth hormone. And I'm not saying it because I'm proud of it. I'm saying it because I want your audience to hear it in case they are considering gambling their life with these dangerous drugs.
Because a lot of wrestlers are dead.
That's right, and I just lucked out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I'm saying I want to tell you guys the truth so your people will maybe listen to my more credible analysis that the good that it does you is temporary, the bad that it does you is permanent.
What advice would you give to a wrestler on the road that bumps into some women? What's your advice on women on the road?
Well, wrap your willy.
Yeah, that's fucking brilliant. Wrap your willy. That's good advice, mate. That's good advice. I wish I'd listened to you a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I knew a guy that had hags. Not haggis. Hags.
Hags?
Hags. It's herpes, AIDS, gonorrhea, and syphilis.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But the good news is they gave him pizza. He says, will that cure my hags? He says, no, that's the only thing we can slide under the door.
Brilliant. So just the Hall of Fame was back in 2015. How did that feel, you know, standing on that stage and inducting your brother in? It must have been an amazing moment for you.
Well, you know, I went through a lot of torment to do that because Randy didn't want to go in by himself. He wanted my father and myself to go with him as the Popo family because a year before he died, the Von Erichs were inducted.
That's right.
And you must admit that four of the Von Erichs deserved to be there and two of them did not. So Fritz, Carrie, Kevin, and David belonged, and Chris and Michael did not. So he said, Lanny, you sucked, but you were better than Chris. So that was, and he said, if anything happens to me, make sure that we go in as the Popo family or not at all. So in about 6 months after Randy died, I get a call from John Laurinaitis asking me if I would put Randy into the Hall of Fame. And I said Randy's wishes were that it was the Popo family or nothing. Randy, Lanny, Angelo. And he said, okay, I'll get back with you. But he never did. So I imagine it didn't get over. So then when I turned 59, I knew I had accomplished one thing that Randy never did. I turned 59 and I was now the older brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I decided to overrule Randy, and I thought the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one, which is from Star Trek. And I said, you got millions of macho fans, you only got one macho man, and if it wasn't for those macho fans, the macho man would not exist. Yes. So what I did was I did the best thing I could do. And, of course, I had to tell my mom my decision. She said, no, that wasn't Randy's wishes. I said, well, because Randy was the oldest, I didn't get a lot of my wishes a lot of times. So now that I'm the oldest and I've got you outnumbered, you know, I'm going to go ahead with this.
Yeah, it was a really honourable thing, I think, for you to do. It must have been really hard for you to do as well, Lanny.
It was hard, but I feel it was the right move. And I ask fans all the time, aren't you glad I decided to?
Of course, I.
And the people liked my speech, but the thing is, it would have been much better if they had done it while Randy was alive for one last,
Actually, I need to come to that, though, because you and Randy have two, I mean, you're brought up in the same family, you come from the same area, but your voices are completely different. I mean, how did that happen?
Well, it was when we decided, you know, he was having trouble with his interviews, and I told him, why don't you imitate Pampero Furpo? And that was like, you are watching number one station in Hawaii. Oh, yeah. And he was Armenian from Argentina, so he had a strange accent. And I said, you read that line. And he says, you are watching the number one station in Hawaii. Ooh, yeah. And I went, that's money. I said, he's got it. And then he spent the next 3 months in the mirror working on his interview. And believe it or not, he was never satisfied with any interview, any match, anything. He was always wanting more, better. And I'd say he made his point.
So did he speak like that to your mom? That's what, did he just speak, or did he drop, did he, was that a constant?
I'm going to be honest with you. The last, when I got him doing, ooh, yeah, the last time that I heard Randy Poffo was that day. And from then on, it was, yeah.
Oh, really?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Even with your parents?
He changed.
Really? Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
He called me on the phone. Yeah, here's the deal. I said, okay, I was there when you found the accent, but that's fine.
So you probably were one of the only people to not get unnerved when he spoke to you?
Oh, he made me nervous.
Did he?
You know, I was the youngest in the family, and we got along fine.
Who would win in a shoot fight, though, Lanny? That's what we want to know. Who would win in a shoot fight?
Even now, he would beat me.
Right. did you catch the, I can't remember if you were involved in it, but the Dark Side of the Ring feature on your brother? How did you, do you feel that came across?
Well, I liked it a lot. I just don't like people that have been divorced many times. Mm-hmm. And think they can give marital advice to two dead people. Mm-hmm. Okay? And my answer to that is, how many times have you been married? And when was the last time somebody made love to you and meant it? So, you know, I really, really don't like people talking negatively about my brother. So here's my warning. If you lie about him, I will tell the truth about you.
Well, Larry, I mean, thank you so much for joining us on Wrestling Daft.
You go, who was the biggest prick you've ever met in wrestling?
Who had the biggest prick or who was the biggest?
Well, we all know who had the biggest prick.
We know how you have a coat in the river, Larry.
Who does?
Chris Jericho told us it was you.
He said it was me?
Yeah.
Well, he's lying. See, mine is mostly exaggeration. I admit to being above average, but... When I saw Robert Fuller, also known as...
The manager?
Yeah, there was Colonel Tom Parker.
That's right. I met him in Cleveland. He's got a big knob.
He put me out of business. The only reason mine is big is because I measure it like a cat's tail, from the anus to the tip.
I did that. I'm going to start doing that myself.
Yes. But anyway, I would like to just say, Chris Jericho wouldn't know if I was, he just heard. And every time you hear something, it grows a little. So but anyway, who was the biggest prick in the business? I'd have to go with Ole Anderson. And let me see, who else would be?
You didn't have much time for Bam Bam Bigelow, did you?
Oh my God, no, that was horrible. But I don't like to
speak ill of the dead.
You know, speak ill of the deceased. But, you know, here's a guy that, used to sleep at the Acme Ritz Central Arms Waldorf Plaza Ritz, you know, and then he couldn't even he couldn't even do child support. So I have no sympathy for that guy.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Annie, thanks. Thank you very much for coming on Wrestling Daft. Really appreciate your time. And again, we should get you an ICW. Let's get a booking for ICW, Lanny and ICW.
Yeah, definitely. After this virus cures up, I will do it. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
I love you guys. Virus. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Stay thank safe. You very much, Lanny. Take it easy, pal.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so before we go, let's say crown our listener of the week, and it's going to be Mr. Jordy Coyle himself and that amazing story about creating his himself in a wrestling game and then somebody else renting out of the video shop and finding him in there. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that story. It makes me want to load up my N64 No Mercy the New to look at all my creative wrestlers. Listen, I've said this before. We need to do a wee bit of talking about wrestling computer games on this show at some point. I might do that. So, Grado, it's been great chatting to you. Mm-hmm. Anything just, else to add before we wrap up?
I like the fan stories. I think they should, if you've got any stories about wrestling at all that's daft, let us know, man.
Anything at all.
It really brights up my night, doesn't it?
I love your stories. See, without your stories, because this is the punters show. Mm-hmm. Wrestling Daft is about the punters.
We're a community. We're on this together. You know what I mean?
Family, and that's what wrestling's all about.
So everybody, it's a great wee show. Loved it. And who we going coming up next week, John? Have we got MD?
You tell me, Grado. Who are you booking?
Who do you want? I've been saying this for a year, but...
Rob, who do you want in the show?
I'll tell you what, honestly, what I would want, right, and I know it's terrible saying this because I know we've already had him on the show twice, but I would quite like to catch up with Shaw again. If we can do that, would be nice. Whether it's an interview or no, but I'd like to catch up and see how he's been doing with lockdown. I think it'd be a good laugh to talk to him about lockdown.
I'm sure I can guarantee Shaw next week. Yeah. Well then, it's time to go up the road.
Up the road, it's yourself.
I can't believe you never made that Larry Poffo interview. Larry Poffo, Lanny Poffo. Well, Lanny Poffo.
Well, that's a bad. That's why I wasn't there, because I knew you were going to call him Larry Poffo, Jonah, at some point.